Welcome, everybody listening, and everyone on VBS. Sorry we're late on VBS. And also, let me just start the recording here, and we'll get right into this. Da-da-da-da-da, just a second. This is Wynn. Welcome. And let me see. Let me mute all the dings so if people come in late. If you remember how to do that. Hang on. Okay. Here we are. We'll start our recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is April 30th. 2014, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and everybody else, wherever you are on planet Earth. And on this call, there's no space. So no matter where you are, we are in, some of you realize this, we are in the same place. And it's, you could say it was a higher dimensional place. And it's a zone above the frequency of our planet, above the frequency of 3D. And we are all learning how to establish ourselves in that zone. We've had some really interesting emails this week from people who have been coming into our calls. And one person, I don't have the email open in front of me, was saying she's been coming into our calls for 2 years. At some point, I'll prepare myself and we'll read her whole email because it was very good. And suddenly, last Sunday, she was on our Sunday call and she felt the energy. So it's like, even though we keep saying that, and some of you may not be at the place yet where you're feeling the energy, by coming into these calls, partially in our Monday and Wednesday calls, we're kind of giving information to your conscious, intelligent mind that kind of, over time, wears down the resistance. It's not linear, so you can't exactly explain how that happens. But when you have lifetime after lifetime after lifetime of being in this realm, you have patterns that have been long established, maybe for hundreds of years, maybe for thousands of years, and maybe even for millions of years. And suddenly you come into a call and you get introduced to this work, and we have a connection to a source, more than one source, that's in a higher dimension above this realm. And not only are they explaining to us in great, great detail how it works, the interface between them and us, but how they're demonstrating the ability to connect with the energies of the higher dimensions, and that when you're ready, there's an experience that can happen for you where you start to understand what I'm talking about. But you can't push that. You can't push the river, because part of the whole process is untangling yourself from all those patterns that you have established over many, many lifetimes, which have kept you trapped in this realm. And, you know, there's, it's not that if you say, if you start thinking, I'm not feeling the energy, there must be something wrong with me, that is not the right approach, because everyone in this realm has patterns from the past. Some of us are not as bad as others. Bad is not the right word. Let me find another word. Some of us are not, like, for example, we've had the idea that, you know, they led me to a Mormon church, and when I asked questions about it, supposedly there was an attempt by the higher realms within that church to bring in Elohim souls into this realm so that there could be a connection similar to the one we're having within that church, so that those souls could help lift the vibration of this realm. And that's why, you know, they told me this, and I looked at Mormons, and I knew Mormons, and I've had friends that are Mormons, and some of you that know Mormons know that Mormons are different. And they're not, it's not because of their religion. In other words, if you take different sects of Christianity, you can't always identify what religion a person is by the way they look or the way they act or their energy field. But with Mormons, I learned to very often identify them because I started to see the signature of what an Elohim soul was like in this realm. And there was a consistency. That doesn't mean all Mormons are Elohim souls. And there's converts, there's, you know, people that are attracted to the energy. And it also does not mean, and this is important, that the Mormon religion is the best religion. Because like all religions, the sources that want to control this realm will infiltrate almost any religion and start creating the wrong, or I won't say wrong, start creating guidance and control systems inside of that religion, because the negative likes nothing better than to get a bunch of Elohim souls under their influence. So this happens in all religions, and even if you study the beginnings of Christianity, those of you that are historical will know that sometime originally the Romans were not too pleased with Jesus because he was getting too much attention and acknowledgement from the people, and they were losing their control. And, of course, eventually, the Romans were part of putting Jesus, his body, out of commission in that famous incident on the cross. So, 300 years later, the Romans decided that he wasn't going away, and that perhaps, this is my take on this now, perhaps they should see if maybe bring Jesus into the Roman influence and own him, make him theirs. So they rewrote the Bible in something called the Council of Nicaea. You can look that up, N-I-C-E-A. And, of course, now Rome, the Vatican, is the center of the most powerful religion of Christianity, which is Catholic. And so there is certainly truth in the Bible, and there's huge wisdom in the Bible. But if someone is going to say the Bible is the Word of God and everything in it is true, I would take opposition to that, because I know the Bible's been rewritten, and there were many things put in it to control people, to create rituals of control, to create fear. If you don't do this, you're going to go to hell, so to speak. And anything that does that is at a lower level of control. It's using fear to manipulate people, and it's very effective. It's been very effective because people have this idea, if they follow their religion and they do everything according to their religion, they're going to go to heaven. And if they do this and that and the other thing, then they're sinning and they're going to go to hell. So in certain situations, if you have a moral code, and I think a moral code has its value, because a lot of people can't figure this out for themselves, and they don't know why they should be considerate and caring. And if this is all there is, and this is just the only life you have, and you don't continue, then why shouldn't you just do whatever you can to make yourself as comfortable as you can in this life, to have as much money as you can, to fulfill all your desires and passions. And it doesn't matter if you hurt people, because who cares? There's no continuity. When the life is over, it's over. So you may as well be as happy as you can be. And that once there's the idea of continuity and an afterlife, then if there's a connection between how you conduct your life and what happens in your afterlife, that would be really good to know about, so that, you know, you set yourself up for the best afterlife possible. And, you know, there definitely is a correlation between your conduct and your consciousness and your ability to express love and what happens to you when you die and where you go and what you access. But, you know, knowing that is not meant to create you to act out of fear. And as one gets more spiritually evolved, they have a conscience. They have an automatic detecting system to have some inner guidance as to what's appropriate action and what isn't. But prior to that state of evolution, prior to the development of that inner guidance, then a moral code is very valuable, because it keeps people in a more considerate, cooperative state with each other. It's not bad, but when you take a moral code and you turn it into the Word of God, now you're probably going off direction slightly. What do I mean by that, taking a moral code and turning it into the Word of God? Well, okay, say in some religions they might say homosexuality is a sin. And that would be taking a moral code, applying it as a universal principle, and saying God is against homosexuality. And then, of course, somebody will go somewhere in the Bible and say it seems to indicate that's true here. But then you can go somewhere else in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, and you'll find God seems to like sacrifices. So we're supposed to kill animals and dedicate it to God. Well, I don't believe whoever is God there is not the highest God. There's lower gods, and there's entities that have represented themselves as God. But you can't take things in the Bible. You can do, well, you can do anything you want, but I wouldn't take things in the Bible and say, this is true because it's in the Bible. I'd say a lot of what was attributed to what Jesus said, his direct words, I know it's true. I can know it from my own experience. And I knew it years ago when I read it. I said, this guy knew stuff that I'm figuring out. But when it comes to moral codes, ethics, those things don't come from God, even if they say they do. They don't. They come from man. And it's like legal laws. If you commit a crime, you go to jail. That doesn't come from God. That's man's law. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It's like the way that, one way that, on the best level, society protects itself from each other. And if guilt was a good way to evolve, then something that creates guilt, I guess what you'd say was a good thing. But I don't think the higher forces want us to feel guilt. We end up feeling guilt by ourselves because it's one of the indicators that we're doing something wrong, and that you can evaluate it and when you feel it, say, what did I do to create that? That's your own consciousness, your own development of discernment. And guilt is one of those things. But when guilt comes because some authority says, if you do this, you're sinning, that's not necessarily from the highest place. Now, it might be true, then you'd have to talk about what is a sin. All right, I'm rambling on. It's 6:27. As you have noted, we didn't send out an email today again. And the reason is because our email server is still down. And they are working night and day. They got under some kind of attack. You know, they're in Poland. And they take all our emails, and then they keep everyone's emails on their file, and then they send them to everybody. But they're not sending right now. So I can't send out emails. We couldn't ask for questions. And so we didn't get a lot of questions for tonight. Probably people are thinking, what's going on? So that gives me an excuse to talk for a moment. And if any of you have a long-standing question, this is a really good time to send it in. And that would be to questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And I'll make a mention, we're getting certain questions that I'm not so comfortable answering and asking. And it has questions to do, like, if we assume that our sources know everything that's going on, and many times they answer questions where they certainly demonstrate the ability to see things that are going on that we can't see and we didn't know, and they validated that many times. So it creates the potential to ask questions like, what's going on about this? What's going on about that? Was that the negative doing this? And I'll read you some of the questions tonight because I'll pass on some of them because it's not good for me to ask them. It's not good for them to answer. In fact, I asked one time in a private session, I said, are you monitoring the answers to our questions so that if we ask something that's going to get us in trouble, you won't answer it? And they said, no. What does that mean? That means I better monitor it. And what do I mean by getting in trouble? Okay, well, some of you know, and probably most of you at this point are getting an idea that there are agendas on our planet. There are things that people call the cabal. They talk like the secret societies, you know, whatever names, and the 1%, the bankers. And the general principle is that there's a small group of people that has huge manipulations of the greater group of people. And they do it in many, many ways. Some people say that they control the movie industry. They control the music industry. And they have certain intents that they're not easy to see that are behind the scenes. And some of the things that happen that we read about are a product of those intents. And if I keep asking questions about that, and we keep giving the right answers publicly, then that could jeopardize the work we're doing. I mean, that could jeopardize our ability to have lives on this planet, because we're in front of a lot of people. And so it's not best to ask those kinds of questions. And most of the time, we can't do anything about it anyway. I mean, I can tell you that for your own edification, you should be studying everything that comes out in the newspapers and doing internet searches to figure out whether you can trust it or not, because the news is absolutely not trustworthy, nor is TV, nor is, you know, many things. So this is one of the ways that you get programmed, that we get programmed to keep us in this realm by all these belief patterns. And when we talked about hundreds of years or thousands of years where we've been contracted, one of the reasons we've been contracted is these same forces that we're talking about today have been doing this for thousands of years. And they take something like Jesus or whatever, and they use it. Once it gets too popular, they use it to control the people instead of enlighten them. And one real incident of this that I wrote about in The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce was where the Ra Group was working with this past life of Edgar Cayce's, Ra-Ta, and Ra-Ta was doing all these, according to Edgar Cayce, Ra-Ta was doing all these miracles of healing, built the pyramids by levitation. And according to Garla Ruckert, Ra-Ta was working with the Ra Group, and they were greatly assisting with all these miraculous things that Ra-Ta was doing, including the building of the pyramids by levitation. And what they said through Carla's work was that they were wanting to bring this information, and I won't even say it's more than information, they wanted to bring this higher frequency into the masses to give the whole population the opportunity to evolve spiritually. But they said the negative, service to self, wanted to use this very same information and ability to work the other levels to control people instead of to enlighten them. You know, when you enlighten people, they get as good as you are, and then the you can't hold anything over them. And but when you act as if you know that what they don't know and they'll never know it, then they addict themselves to you. And so that's what happened in Egypt. The priesthood adopted the word Ra. And the Ra name all through Egypt was not the same Ra that worked with Ra-Ta or the previous incarnation of Edgar Cayce. It was a negative Ra, and it was called Amun-Ra. Amun-Ra, and the priesthood was called the Amun priesthood. And this all happened because of this intervention of the Ra group with Ra-Ta, slash Edgar Cayce, slash David Wilcock. So now Egypt is under the auspices of Amun-Ra for thousands of years, from 10,000 B.C., and all the gods of Egypt that we hear of, as far as I can tell, are the same energies that are behind the secret cabals of today, and that they can channel, they can do things, they can do hocus pocus. And if you notice, it's called Amun-Ra, you'll notice how many prayers do people say ending with Amen. And Amen, I am fairly sure, is connected to Amun. So this is how programmed this realm is. And that when you're living in a society that's under those kinds of auspices, you are programmed. Every time you watch TV, every time you read a newspaper, every time you hear public opinion, it's under the gut. It's under the control of the negative. I say almost every time. I'm sure there may be exceptions. But it's very prevalent. And we walk around in our belief systems and we think we know something, but what we know is based on this programming, this propaganda, these subtle influences. And when you want to feel the energy, you have to start taking those things apart because they will block you. You know, you wonder how miracles happen. Well, as we have been coming to know, the Elohim is a thinking, intelligent group. And they have unconditional love, but you have to reach for it. You have to ask for it. And think of yourself. When you read about people starving in India, for example, you have a moment of the care that crosses you, and then you realize, geez, I'm helpless. What can I do about that? And we become, and I'm not judging this, I'm just saying it's the way a human works, we become numb to these kinds of things, catastrophes in other places, people starving. But if you have a neighbor or a friend, even a friend that happens to be Indian, and his brother is starving for whatever reason, and your neighbor asks you, I'm trying to raise some money for my brother, can you help? And at which point now, all these starving Indians, and I don't know if Indians are starving, I picked that out. So if you're Indian and I'm picking the wrong country, then excuse me. But your neighbor asks you, and you can feel the energy of his brother who's in India that's having a hard time. And I would say there's a pretty high chance you're going to put your hand in your pocket and give the guy some money to send to his brother. And so, if you think the Elohim might work the same way, which I think they do, it's like when you get to know them, and you get to know them by coming in on these calls, when you get to know them, and then you say, my friend is having a problem, they say, well, it brings it to their attention. And just like your friend who you're giving money to send to his brother in India, the Elohim can now help people that you care about. And that's part of what they like to do. But they need, you're the ones making the connection and weaving the connections. You're not giving up your power and thinking, I'm nothing, please just save me, please fix this, please do that. It doesn't seem to operate that way. It's a rather sensitive interaction. And that's why when people start feeling the energy on these lines, it's such a profound deal, because that's an indicator that you're connecting and they're connecting with you. And then you start to learn how to work that connection. Now, see, I'm talking all this time because we didn't get a lot of questions, but we did get a couple questions. So let me go through the questions for tonight. Terry, are you there? Let's see.
I'm here.
I hear you. That was record time.
Do I hear you? Yes.
Yes. Good work. Now, do you have any comments on the kinds of things I was talking about?
No.
Do you remember what I said?
Well, I'm in my almost channeling mode, so
right. I don't remember what I said.
I'd have to go back into my normal mode.
Don't go back. Stay in your channeling mode. We have about 15 minutes, so let's see what we can go through. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the protection of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present? Would they like to comment on any of what I just said?
Thank you. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra On. It's the 30th of April, 2014. And we are delighted to be with each and every one of you individually who wishes to be with us today on this call or in the future if you read a transcript or listen to the replay. We note that you have talked about questions that may be politically incorrect and may lead into trouble. For expressing the answers to these questions. And in the past, we have indeed expressed answers to questions that were politically incorrect, but which was, as we see it from our perspective, the truth. the truth resonates with you or doesn't. If something doesn't resonate with you, then set it aside. Because many, many people do believe everything that's in the news, or much of what is in the news, and it is a stable datum for these people. It is an anchor point for these people, something that they can listen to at 6 o'clock and can set their anchors in the physical universe as they mesh from their own self into the physical universe and see what is going on and how they need to adjust. Many of these news items are accurate and they can be used to one's advantage, such as the weather warnings, the notice of what's going to happen if it's going to freeze, and then the farmers can get out their smudge pots. So one needs to, when they listen to the news, sort it out, see which resonates with them as being true, which then a weather prediction comes true or doesn't come true, and they can at least prepare themselves for the future. As one gets into other news, then it becomes less verifiable. So one does not know exactly who is telling the truth at some point. We see much beyond what we say sometimes. We do honor the free will of all people, which makes it difficult. We really back the greatest good. What is the best for the highest good for the number of people? And therefore, your prayers can be heard. We can see your prayers. We can sense your prayers. We can see the light. When you have a high intent, you have an electrical charge which creates a light which we can see. And the universe and us can come in to help answer and to bring about your desire of what it is in your intent, if it is for the highest good, for the highest number of people. Those people that are negative are digging holes for themselves. Wynne had mentioned in his preamble about when somebody in a life just figured that that's all there is and was living only for themselves, service to self, and doing objectionable things to others. This is noted in the scans of time. This is noted in the Akashic record. And as these people move down their track, individuals that have been hurt by them remember, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously. And so, if you have done good deeds in your past, you may suddenly have someone enter your life who was in the past life the recipient of those good deeds and is connecting with you in this life, people that need each other, find each other. If you were very detrimental to another person in a past life, that person can also find you in a current life and give you grief. Those are our comments.
Thank you. I have a question here from Deb in Milwaukee, and I'm really going to ask her question and rewrite it in a more general way, because her question is, we're having more severe weather in the past few years. And
you're blurred. You're voice.
Oh, here we go. Is that better? That's better,
yes.
Right? Okay. And here's my overview question. Weather. What is it that can impact weather, and what does impact weather? For example, you know, we would normally think of weather as just being random movements of whatever, creating rain, creating cold, creating heat. But on the other hand, we have Native Americans and Indians that do rain dances. We have, I read about the Amun priesthood. One of the ways they controlled people was by seemingly being able to cause rain or cause weather things to happen. And then I remember there was a story of the singer Donovan, who was singing in a big open-air amphitheater, and it was going to rain, and he asked the rain to go away, and the rain went away. And so it seems to me that there are many, many things that influence weather, and one of them may be technological things that can be produced technologically to cause an earthquake or to cause a tornado, and one of them can be the intent of a mass of people somewhere, might be caused, able to impact the weather, and another might be the earth that has a need to release to cause a natural disaster to happen or an earthquake. So could you give us a little quick dissertation on the kinds of things that can impact weather?
Yes, this is a wonderful question, and there are things that are not generally known. The Indians, some of the Indian tribes do know this information, but in general, the scientific community do not know this information that we are going to give you now. There is consciousness in all of everything. And the consciousness becomes focused when you have a spinning energy. For instance, in a tornado, the consciousness develops very strongly, and the tornado is very angry often, very destructive, and is looking for matching energies that where someone is really angry and angry and attacking the weather and the tornado and the sky and the dark clouds and is scared. And this can then merge the consciousness of the tornado with that person that is so viewing the clouds and the tornado coming. And this can put the two together. We also look at that one incident where there was a tornado F5 coming straight towards someone, and they were at a military base, and the people in the military base, maybe a few people in a room, were looking at their equipment to see the approaching tornado, and they were very scared. And this one person tuned in to a channeling, put a channeling on that he could listen to, and then he began to send love to the tornado, whereupon the tornado made a right turn and headed towards a lake and then disintegrated. This is not generally known, the consciousness. Give us a moment. The consciousness of a weather system is something that can be communicated with. The Indians know that they can do this. when there is a consciousness that is being a gate, a weather gate, to allow certain weather through or to block certain weather. This is not looked at in general as a consciousness involved. It is looked at as there's a high pressure area and it's blocking other weather. However, there is a consciousness involved, and if one is of a high enough vibration that they can move their vibration with the changing of the clouds, the changing of the weather, they can tune in to the consciousness that is creating the weather and can change. They don't change the weather, but they can seek a change in the weather, and the consciousness that is controlling the weather can then change the weather. The light, the earth, the weather is much more alive and conscious than one knows. That is our answer.
Thank you. Does the consciousness of weather continue? Like, does a tornado reincarnate or come back with the same consciousness, or is it always a new creation?
It is a new creation. And the elements that are disturbed by the weather system take part in the creation of the tornado and the effect of the tornado. And that is one of the reasons that makes a tornado so angry, is because the consciousness elements that were there in the first place have been greatly irritated and disturbed by the weather system and wish to seek some relief for their tremendous anger. And after the tornado disintegrates, they resume their own place.
Thank you. You know what? It's 6:57, and we got started late with BBS, and then I went on my own little soliloquy, and I don't know if... Don, are you listening? Hello, Don and BBS. He usually has to cut us off because he has a show coming on in 2 minutes. So we'll just give it to our sources for final comments. And I apologize for such a short session today, but we have no email we're sending out. We did get some questions to come in, and Michael Adler had a question. It's one that I was a little bit nervous about asking, so I might ask it privately and see if it's something we want to share. And we just continually put the light around our planet.
Quinn, there is no show after us.
Oh, there isn't? Did Don just call you?
No, I'm seeing it on the schedule.
You're seeing it on the schedule. Okay, well, let's see. If everyone wants to go along, and we can go on for another 10 minutes and ask a couple more questions. Let me just see if that's okay with you guys. Hang on a second. Just staying on that. Just a moment. Would you like us to go in after 10 minutes? More sunshine. Okay. But let's see if we go back into the zone. We'll make the connections, and that was a very great answer on weather. And we have some Bob and Chico. Let me see, this is the kind of question. I'll read you the question, then I'm going to revise the question, okay? And it's kind of a question that says, I want to know everything that's going to happen. I want to know the Elohim's going to know the future, and they can tell us, if this happens, will that happen? If this happens, will that happen? And it's not a question that I can ask or I want to ask, nor do I think...
We can address that area, if you like.
Yeah, we can address the area, but I'll read the question, but don't answer this question. I just want people to hear the form of a quote. Bob, excuse me for using you as an example, and I know we've all got concerns about the state of the world now, but being all the things I just said, it's like one wants to think that everything is destiny, and if this happens and this happens and this happens, is this meant to happen? I will tell you one thing that I had come up with recently is that Edgar Cayce said that Russia was the hope for the world. Russia, this was years ago, and that that, as I understand it, Putin is not under the influence of the negative cabal groups, okay? Well, we'll just have to see how it all unfolds. But that was in Edgar Cayce years ago, that Russia would be the hope of the world. And also, I understand that there was an election in that one place in Croatia, not Croatia, you know which place I mean, the place that Russia went in, and they voted to be part of Russia,
Crimea,
and that the United States said, no, you can't do that. So then of course, we say, oh, the elections were all rigged. And then somebody else says, we put in an American guy in the rest of Ukraine who we caused that to occur. Now, it takes so much research to figure out exactly who to believe and who not to believe. But one thing I can tell you for sure, if it's on the news, don't believe it. I mean, occasionally it might be true, but we tend to form our prejudices according to what's in the news. We are being programmed by the news. And even I can relate to many times in my life when I, you know, you read about a dictator that's a hostile dictator that's against democracy. When I was younger, and I said, that guy must be a bad guy. You just assume it's correct. And more times than not, it's not correct. It's designed to program you so that when something happens in that particular area, when there's an aggressive action by, say, our country, we think we're making the world safe for democracy, except that we are, in our country, you know, right now the president goes to war and there's no, doesn't worry about whether Congress approves, the Constitution's being essentially overturned. So, you know, it's like, what are we saying? And it just seems very two-faced. And if you're still reading newspapers and drawing those opinions, do more research. Don't believe anything is good or bad. But in any case, the question the person asked was, I again asked to expound on this chaos in Ukraine. Is Putin backing off invading more? Well, the elections this month of May make a difference. The sources advise on driving out the greed and corruption that has plagued the country. Do they see it getting worse before it gets better? And if Ukraine collapses completely, will not that start the terrible, terrible domino effect that the world does not need to witness, okay? And then bless all on this call with the unconditional love they desire. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Bob, Chico, California. And thank you, Bob, for your question. And Let me now just rephrase the question and say, we have a lot of upset in Ukraine, and many people have their opinions about who's right and who's wrong and what it should be. And I just brought up the idea that Edgar Cayce said Russia was going to be the hope of the world. And perhaps you could give us a comment on it without putting us in any jeopardy with the kinds of information you reveal. Thank you.
Thank you. This stops us a bit because the truth is the truth. And we have one comment, and that is the agenda tends to be made up in advance in the events tend to be staged to bring about that agenda. So one needs to look beyond the events. One needs to look to see, and it is hard because it is staged, and it is hard to see. One needs to look beyond to see the agenda and how things play out. When you were talking about the domino effect, there were other countries who have been involved in a so-called domino effect. Libya, Syria are two countries. That is our answer.
Thank you. A question from Marilyn Kowalski, and she talks about parallel lives. And I have, you know, before I ask her question, I'm going to ask a question, and that is, since there is one energy pervading the universe, and the Elohim is a high subset of that energy, does it look as if we're living parallel lives with you?
Thank you. We are all living parallel lives with everyone else at some level, but at another level, we have stepped down and stepped down and stepped down to have an independent life. And so, while you are in the physical realm, you also have the component in the astral. You also have the higher self that touches upon the all that is. There is more. It can be looked at as parallel lives, but also it can be looked at as individual lives. And memory can be in the Akashic record so that one can also access the knowledge and the energies and the lifetimes of others. That is a little book. That is our answer.
Yeah, let me ask Marilyn's question. Are we all possibly living parallel lives with our second life very close to the first, possibly living with slightly different results? Or is it possibly a few people? I guess she's saying, I guess the way she's saying it, I mean, could we have a life on Earth and another body that's us walking around in Arcturus and another body that's walking around on Orion, you know, or something, or on a spaceship, you know? And can it be all the same life? I think that's what she means. Thank you.
Thank you. That is one aspect that can happen. And one can have different lifetimes on different planets at the same time. And part of their intention and attention is on the Earth realm, and part of their attention and intention is in the other planet. And one generally focus a part of their oversoul in one and another part of their oversoul in another.
Thank you. One more question, and then we'll adjourn this meeting. You know, we have what's called the astral plane, which is probably the closest other dimensional area to our physical plane. And it's my understanding that sometimes there are beings in the astral that have aspects or generate aspects, multiple aspects of themselves, to have bodies in the physical, and that they connect with all of those aspects. And is that is that accurate?
Yes, it is. And they can both give and receive energy from the different lifetimes in the physical. And in the astral, they can keep all those balls in the air, giving and receiving energy.
Now, when a being is in the astral and they're doing that, would they have more of a tendency to be service to self or service to others?
Give us a moment. We see that there would be a large component of service to self, although the individual may not see it that way.
In other words, those beings in the astral are not dedicated to serving humanity, but they're dedicated to having this relationship with their lower forms in the physical.
Yes, and so sucking energy from the lower forms in the physical, one example may be sexual energy that they desire to feed into themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's very informative. When we read about ascended masters that sometimes are in the astral, would they oftentimes also be in that service to self category?
We look at it as an individual thing, and it may not be service to self. It may be service to others.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, we'll give you a chance, since we don't have another show, just to give any closing comments, and then we'll close this broadcast. And thank you for being here with us.
It is an honor to be with each and every one of you, and it is a sacred moment when we can so connect with those that wish to connect with us. And we feel your energy, and we impart love to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Terry. Thank all of you that are here, that are holding the space, that's making a call like this possible. And we'll see you Sunday. I hope we'll have our emails going. Look for a flood of emails when we get it going. and or unmute everybody and have a great evening. Okay.
Thank
we are unmuted.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
Love you. This is
wonderful.
Good night.
Good night.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Bye.
Good night to all.
Love and peace.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. We love you all.
We love you.